Ever dream of a three-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound. Right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinitiUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
What is going on? What is going on, Bills Mafia? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into a late edition of Wake Up Wednesday on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. I am the voice of the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Do me a favor. As always, whatever platform you are consuming this podcast on, please like, please subscribe. I've got three shows generally for you weekly. Mafia Monday, where we just go around the East and the league and talk about what happened briefly the night before. Then I give you the overreaction post-game tweets. Wake Up Wednesday, another just quick spot of news around the Buffalo Bills. I give you Hodgins Watch and then my game predictions for the week, and then Rapid Fire Friday, where I get the opportunity to interview somebody, throw 10 quick questions at them, and we have just a good, fun kind of on-topic, off-topic conversation. Last week, I had Pat Moran from Talking Bills. If you missed that, please go back and listen. Had a great conversation with Pat, but it is so good to have you. Whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, or on the drive to work, let me just say one more time, welcome. So good to have you. Well, this week poses possibly the game of the season for the Buffalo Bills. It is absolutely, for Week 17, the game of the week. And at the very least, the game of the second half of the season for both of these teams. The Bengals winners of 7 straight, the Bills winners of 6 straight. Something is going to have to give. I mean, I guess this game could end in a tie. None of us want to see that. But one of these two teams that have both been on a pretty decent hot streak have overcome self-inflicting wounds, have overcome some injuries, have battled their hearts out to get to where they are. The Bengals are at 11-4. The Bills are at 12-3. Something's got to give. One of these two teams is going to walk out Monday night victors. If it's the Buffalo Bills, they're going to be continuing their jaunt towards the number one seed and home field advantage through the playoffs, and the Bengals are still in chase. And basically out of it. The Bengals, if they come out winners, then they have the tiebreaker on the Bills and the Chiefs, but still need some help. With that, let's just talk about that real quick. What this means. What this means for both teams. Well, it obviously means the number one seed to the playoffs. Now, the Bengals, I believe, are still potentially in danger of not winning their division. The Ravens can still sort of catch them. So the Bengals are 11-4. The Bills are 12-3. The Ravens are 10-5. If the Bengals drop the next two, they'll finish the season at 11-6. And the Ravens, if they win the next two, would be 12-5. So the Bengals effectively are still playing for the division, whereas the Bills, obviously, last week against the Bears, locked that up. But at the end all be all, you expect the Bengals to at least win one of the next two games. And with that, the number one seed is what is in play, or what we are effectively working towards for both of these teams. Now, if the Bills win, or I should say the Bills need to win, to retain the number one seed where they are currently and put the Bengals one more game behind them. It also keeps the Bills a half game ahead of the Chiefs. Now, if the Bills win and the Chiefs lose a game, it gives the Bills a cushion, a pad, if you will, and they can effectively go into that Patriots game, the last game of the season, with nothing really to play for. You're talking about an opportunity, a situation for the Bills to, a scary opportunity, in my opinion, to rest players for 2 weeks, right? They would have that game, they could rest them, and then they could rest players for week one of the playoffs as well, as they would have the number one seed. Now, if the Bengals win, or what they need, I should say, to get the number one seed, if they win this football game, as I told you already, they would have the tiebreaker over the Bills and the Chiefs, but they still need the Chiefs to lose one more game. Otherwise, they're just going to go in. I think that would put them, if the Bengals went out and the Chiefs went out and the Bills only lose to the Bengals, the final AFC seedings would be Chiefs, Bengals, Bills. The Bills would be the third seed. The Bengals would be the second seed. The Chiefs would be the one seed. If the Bills win tomorrow, they hold on to the one seed. The Chiefs would firmly be placed in the second seed, I think, and then the Bengals would stay at the third seed with their division again in question. So the whole thing is kind of up in the air. It's going to be interesting to see, and then the Bengals could potentially rock the whole entire ship, rock the boat. And if they beat the Bills, the Chiefs lose a game, right? And the Bills win a game after that. You're talking about the Bengals being the one, the Bills being the two, and the Chiefs being the three, or it could end up Bengals 1, Chiefs 2, Bills 3, if the Chiefs happen to win out. So there's a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of different scenarios, and I probably made that about as confusing for you as I possibly could. So just let's do it this way. What this means, I'm just going to wrap this up one more time. The Bills need to win it, right, to stay in first place in the AFC, period. The Bengals need it, and then that way they would have the tiebreaker over the Bills and Chiefs, and they would still need the Chiefs to lose one game. That's what you need to know. So that's about as clear as I can give it to you. But the Bills, as I just said, are winners of six straight. However, the Bills have not been the dominant team we've watched over the last couple of years here in the last four, five, or six games, at least until or since that Packers game, the second half of the Packers game. They've hurt themselves in games, and they've had to come from behind and grind out wins. But if we're talking about this, if you've been listening to this show for 5 minutes ever, that's the important thing, is they've been winning games, winners of six straight. Allen is still seemingly not 100%. He's thrown some head-scratching throws this year. He's got a lot of interceptions. I think he's close to leading the league in interceptions. I know he's leading all of the passing leaders in interceptions. He's probably not leading the league in interceptions. I don't think that's accurate. He's just leading all the MVP candidates in interceptions. However, the Buffalo Bills run game has been coming on strong. Averaging, 142 yards per game? The only team in the NFL that has rushed for over 100 yards in every game between all of their rushers, not just necessarily one rush running back. They did have their first 100-yard rusher, as you know, of the season against the Bears, and they rushed for 254 yards in that game. They almost put two of them up on the board. James Cook coming in at 99 yards, just short. The Bills also have yet to unleash Cole Beasley, which we know is a nightmare matchup for defenses. So Cole is on this team. He's been sprinkled in. He's getting snaps. He's been thrown two passes. But the Bills have yet to really unleash him. And I'll be honest with you, I've said on several different shows, I almost hope they don't. I'd like to see them kind of continue to ramp him in and ramp him up slowly and kind of get his feet wet, so that when the playoffs start, he's 100% healthy, because a healthy Cole Beasley is a problem, is a big problem for defenses. Now the Bengals, winners of seven straight. They've had their fair share of challenges during this stretch as well, showing vulnerabilities against weaker teams late in games. They got some injury problems, not a ton of them. They're a wildly healthy team, unlike the Bills, who have had some challenges. But Lyle Collins is out for the season, their big right tackle. And they are expecting to get their edge rusher, Sam Hubbard, back, as well as Hayden Hurst. Now, clearly, Joe Burrow, is going to be a concern with any group of weapons on any team, but he is on this Bengals team. We all know that. And having Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, along with Joe Mixon, and now possibly Hayden Hurst back, the Bengals have a host of weapons all over the entire field. To give you kind of some insight on where the Bengals are, if you are not a fantasy football person, Joe Mixon this season has 787 rushing yards with a 4.0 average, and he's chipped in 55 receptions to go with it. Ja'Marr Chase, 79 receptions for 960 yards, 8 touchdowns. He's missed a game or two. T. Higgins, 73 receptions for 1,022 yards. You can expect this team to have 2,000-yard receivers this season. T. Higgins with 7 touchdowns as well. Tyler Boyd, 53 receptions for 711 yards and 5 touchdowns. The Bills are going to have to be disciplined. They're going to have to limit possessions and avoid the big play at all cost if they expect to win this football game. In my opinion, if I'm a gambling man, expect the Bills to sell out against the pass and allow Joe Mixon to find success on the ground. This is a game, to me, I said it when we interviewed Thurman Thomas on Monday night on the Off Tackle Show. You know, this is a game where we're going to, as fans, going to be sitting on the couch, you know, upset that Joe Mixon is ripping off 7-yard runs, right? 12-yard runs here and there, or a 15-yard run, because the Bills are going to be more than likely doing everything they can to not allow Joe Burrow to beat them. They're going to make Joe Mixon beat them. They're going to expect or hope that they can string out drives, make some long possessions, and wait for the Bengals to make a mistake. And oddly, the Bengals are going to do the same thing with the Bills. That is going to be the game plan for both these teams. Limit possessions, hope the other team makes a mistake, which the Bills have been prone to doing over the last several weeks. But the Buffalo Bills have faced and beaten offenses just like this one this year several times. They've beaten the Chiefs, who have weapons all over the field and an incredible passer, obviously, in Patrick Mahomes. And they've beaten the Dolphins, who have incredible weapons, not quite the prolific passer, but Tua is a threat in the way that he plays and the way they game plan him. And even in the first meeting against the Dolphins, week 3, they limited the Dolphins quite a bit on offense in that game. The Bills destroyed them in every category but the final score. And there was a lot of reasons for that in a game that the Bills hurt themselves tremendously. What was it, 5, 6 different mistakes? Any one of them being flipped could have put the Bills in a winning scenario. But if there was a shootout to plan for, in my opinion, and I've given you a lot of my opinion during this little episode, this is the game. This is absolutely the game that if I'm expecting anything, I'm expecting the over to be in the high 50s, like mid 60s. It's going to be 50 degrees outside, balmy, warm, comparative to what these teams, all the teams in the NFL have been playing in recently. It's going to feel like summertime out there to these guys. There's a slight chance of rain, but Burrow can throw in rain, Allen can throw in rain, and all of these receivers can catch a wet football. I would expect this game to potentially be one of those 38 to 35 games, 42 to 37, something like that. Right now, the Buffalo Bills, I believe, are 1-point favorites. Every game this year, the Bills have been favored. Crazy. But it could very well, in my opinion, again, just my opinion, come down to which offense, to use a Von Millerism, blinks first. Real quick, let me give you the Hodgins watch. Every single week since Isaiah Hodgins has left the Buffalo Bills, was picked up by the Giants, I basically give you a quick blurb on my friend, my guy, my good dude, Isaiah Hodgins, what he did over in Giants land, New Jersey Giants land. And this past week, they played the Minnesota Vikings. And in that game, I told you guys that Isaiah was going to have a breakout week, that he's got a week coming where he was going to he's been living in that 3 to 5 reception situation. And I told you he's got an 8 to 10 coming. Well, this week he had 8 receptions for 89 yards and a touchdown. His longest was 29 yards in a loss to Minnesota, 27-24, that I think looked like it was going to go to overtime. It still felt very easy for him. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if you're going to see a 10 to a 12 reception game out of him before the end of the season. And I'm now that we're approaching the last two games of the season, and they might, there's an opportunity for them to play in the playoffs. I'm looking forward to what this young guy is going to do next year and where he's going to end up. If he's going to get to stay in the Giants or with the Giants, if they're going to sign him to a couple-year contract, or if he's going to get back out there on the market. And man, what I love, and I know a lot of Bills Mafia would too, I'd love to see him come back to Buffalo, but I don't think that's probably in the cards at this point. But the kid can play football. He can play football, and it's exciting to watch what he's been doing over there. So that is your Hodgins watch for the season. What's he got? 33 receptions, 350 yards, and 3 receiving touchdowns. And that does not include the one that was called back. Now, last thing for this show is I log into the website. Make picks is what we're looking for. So I'm going to give you my picks against the spread week 17. Before I do that, though, I'm going to tell you where I ended up last week, week 16. And again, just to reiterate, I'm horrible picking against the spread. There's dollar signs on this thing, and I don't know what these dollar signs are. Am I winning money doing this? I don't think I'm winning any money, but whatever. Losses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 losses, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So it was 9-7 last week on my picks, which isn't bad. So to come out with a winning record is pretty good. But the picking against the spread thing, man, just it just does not do me well. I should just go money line, pick straight up, head-to-head. Maybe next year, that's what I'll do, because I'm getting my butt whooped by Vegas. Absolutely whooped. So let's get into this. Thursday, 8:15 game, Dallas Cowboys at the Tennessee Titans. Outdoor game. It's going to be relatively warm. Weather should not be a factor. The Cowboys are giving up 10.5 points. Malik Willis is the quarterback of that football team. Give me the Cowboys, 10.5. Or giving up 10.5, rather. New Orleans Saints versus the Philadelphia Eagles. I have not heard as of yet whether Jalen Hurts is going to be playing in this football game. The Eagles are giving up 6.5 at home. I'm actually going to take the Eagles minus 6.5 with even if Gardner Minshew's playing. Carolina Panthers on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Panthers are charging. The Buccaneers are the Buccaneers. Somebody's got to come out of that division. You know what? I would love to see the Panthers win it against the spread with the Buccaneers giving up 3 points. Goodness gracious. It's like a pick'em game, right? Give me the Buccaneers minus 3. In that football game. You know what? I'm going to reverse that. Give me the Carolina Panthers plus 3. So give me the Panthers with 3 points going into Tampa. Sunday, Miami Dolphins at New England Patriots. That will be backup quarterback is Tua Tagovailoa. Right now, seemingly, is still in concussion protocol. We have not heard as to whether or not he is going to be playing. Teddy Bridgewater looks to be the quarterback there. The Dolphins are getting 3 points against New England, which will be sub 50 degrees, right? Which is a problem for the Dolphins, or has been. The Patriots are giving up 3 points. I'm going to take the Patriots in that football game. The Cleveland Browns at the Commanders. The Browns are getting 2. I'm taking the Commanders minus 2 in that game. The Browns, Watson just does not look good, and the Browns don't either. Indianapolis Colts at the Giants. This is a get-right game for the Giants. Giants minus 6. Give me the Giants over the Colts. Jacksonville Jaguars versus the Houston Texans. The Jaguars are looking to win that division. So they're giving 4.5 points to the Texans in the dome in Houston. Give me the Jaguars minus 4.5. The Chicago Bears versus the Detroit Lions in Detroit. The Chicago Bears are getting 6 points in a dome. You know what? I'm going to take the Lions minus 6 in that game. That Bears team, if the Lions can manage to contain Justin Fields the way that the Bills did, this should be not a problem at all. Sunday, 1 o'clock, Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the game. This is the game we need. So the Kansas City Chiefs are giving 13 points to the recently Nathaniel Hackett-fired Denver Broncos, who are getting 13 points, which is a huge spread. The question we're going to ask ourselves is, can the Broncos rebound? Can they do what the Colts did and pull up an upset with a new head coach after their head coach has just been fired? Is this a wake-up call? Is this going to jerk the chain? And are the Kansas City Chiefs maybe looking past them a little bit to the Raiders the next week? The Chiefs, again, need this win to hold on to the opportunity to even remain in the fight for the number one seed. But with the spread, and again, that's what we're picking against, plus 13. I'm going to take the Broncos. I'm going to go out on a limb and take the Broncos plus 13 on this one. The Arizona Cardinals, 1 o'clock on Sunday versus the Atlanta Falcons. What do we got? Plus 3.5 for the Cardinals. you know, I don't even know what to tell you about this game either. This game is interesting. The Falcons are a mess. The Cardinals are a mess. J.J. Watt just announced his retirement. Give me the Cardinals plus +3. Sunday, 4:05, the San Francisco 49ers at the Las Vegas Raiders. The Niners are giving up 6 points. I'm going to take the Niners in that game. Sunday, 4:05, the Jets at Seattle Seahawks. The return of Mike White in this football game. The Seahawks are somehow getting 1.5. Somehow the Seahawks are getting that doesn't make sense to me. How in the world are the Seahawks getting a point? What am I missing here? Because the Chiefs beat the Seahawks pretty soundly, the Jets somehow are going to go out west with Mike White and beat the Seahawks. I'm taking the Seahawks plus 1.5. I'd bet that game all day long if I were you guys. Sunday, 4:25, Rams at Chargers. Give me the Chargers at minus 6.5. Sunday, 4:25, Vikings at Green Bay. The Green Bay Packers are surging. This game is going to be outside. It's not going to be a frozen tundra game. The Vikings are getting 3 points. The Packers are minus -3. I like the Packers, even though they're prone to make mistakes more than the Vikings, but the Vikings just seem to be pulling stuff out at the end. With that, it's all about one-score games with the Vikings. So give me the Green Bay Packers. Actually, that information or the way that I just explained that didn't work. But I'm taking the Green Bay Packers minus -3. So you're not betting my picks anyway because I'm awful at this. At this point, this is just entertainment. And let's be silly and make fun of Joe at the end of the season at how bad his picks were. Sunday, 8:20, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore Ravens are giving 3 points to the Steelers. I think there's an expectation that Lamar is finally going to be back for this game. And let's be honest, you know, they are not out of the hunt, as we talked about earlier, for the AFC North. So let's take the Ravens minus -3 as they need this football game. And then the big one, the game of the week, possibly the game of the last half of the year, could be one of the best games of the entire season for all of the NFL. The Buffalo Bills go into Cincinnati Monday night, 8:30 start, not an 8:20, an 8:30 start on Monday night. Weather's going to be nice. There's a slight chance of rain. The Buffalo Bills are giving up 1 point. 1 point. You know what? We're taking the Buffalo Bills. And I'm reaching over. I'm hitting publish picks. And those are the picks. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into Wake Up Wednesday, a late drop of Wake Up Wednesday on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network with me, your host, Joe Miller. You can, as I said, find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. Tonight, Wednesday tonight, I have the Hump Day Hotline coming up. The return of Jay Spencer King and Joe Miller. We will be on the show together. At least that's what's scheduled right now. We have no scheduling conflicts. And then the Overreaction post-game show next week will be on Monday night, immediately following the Bills-Bengals game. Rapid Fire Friday. I don't have a guest lined up yet. I've got 2 leads out. Sit tight, and I will let you know as soon as I get somebody lined up. But thank you so much for listening. Thank you for always tuning in. Do me a favor, tell a friend, share, retweet, all that good stuff. Let's grow this thing. But I appreciate you guys. We'll talk soon. Go Bills.
Ever dream of a 3-row SUV where everything for every passenger feels just right? Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX80. With available features like biometric cooling, electronic air suspension, and segment-first individual audio that isolates sound right to the driver's seat. Discover every just-right feature in the all-new QX80 at InfinityUSA.com. 2025 QX80 is not yet available for purchase. Expected availability summer 2024. Individual audio cannot buffer all interior sounds. See owner's manual for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.